Welcome to part two of our interview with Will Allen of Growing Power. It occurred to me, thinking about the whole idea of grapes, you know, one of the limitations we've had here, of course, for growing certain kinds of varietals is the weather. You know, we don't have the most pleasant weather in the world here.
One of the things that maybe you and I can work on this is to try do some research and try to grow some inside hoop houses, climate-controlled greenhouses that we're constructing. So you're able to grow apple trees, all different types of fruit in there. We've created an environment. We can grow bananas and avocados and sugar cane. So we can create these environments in a natural kind of way using soil that we grow. So that's something that we need to continue to do our research. And the only way to do it is try it. Mm-hmm. And tweak it, you know. And that's how we've done everything in the development of our organization and development of urban agriculture around the country.
I'm sure you know all 50 states grow grapes now. All 50 states have wineries. It's growing, and it's going to continue to grow. This, you could be really onto something here, especially in parts of the country that have the kind of weather we have.
Yeah, remember when they said you couldn't grow grapes in this state and that state? Now, the statement you just made, that we're growing grapes in all 50 states because people found varieties and cultivars that actually work.
Exactly.
In different climates and different soil conditions and so forth. So
yeah.
Anything is possible when it comes to agriculture or almost anything.
Well, especially the approach you're taking because it's unique and it's greenhouse, so you're much more controlled. I wanted to ask you, since you talked about fish, which we got into last time, which was really interesting to hear, have you headed towards anything, beef, otherwise? Is that in your future?
Well, one of the things that we're doing is, of course, in the city of Milwaukee, now residents can have chickens, layers, no roosters, of course. And bees, honey production is much better inside cities because of all the flora in cities and because of the way we farm in our rural communities using Roundup Ready GMO crops and we've gotten rid of all the weeds that produce the pollen. So we get about 50% more production in urban America doing honey production. So there's some tremendous opportunities for different types of animals and, of course, worms, to be able to grow worms and create fertilizer by feeding them the food waste that normally would go into landfills and create this organic fertilizer that we need. And we produce about 100,000 pounds of worm castings every 4 months. So that's an opportunity for jobs and create jobs and create the interest. And we're finding universities are starting to have degree programs in sustainable agriculture and green technology around agriculture to reduce the cost by using renewable energy, which we use. We wouldn't be able to cash flow some of our stuff without renewable energy that we use today.
The worm thing fascinates me, the amount of worm castings and how much, what is the weight, what is it you have in worms right now?
Well, we started out with 30 pounds of worms about 16 years ago through a small youth project that wasn't going so well. And I said, you know, I don't like doing worms in plastic containers. So I started building these boxes and studied it for about 5 years. And, you know, when you do something for a long time, all of a sudden a light will go on. And you say, you know, I almost got this, you know. And that's when I went out and started training people in the way that I do it, which is totally different than what you'll find in a book in terms of putting worms in compost and having them break the compost down into worm castings, which cuts down the time that it takes to produce worm castings. And now we're up to, on just one farm, we've got more than this, but 7,000 pounds of worms from 30 pounds of worms. So it's a large part of what we do. And of course, worms are essential in terms of sustainable organic production.
That's a heck of a family. Wow.
And a lot of employees. We got a few billion employees, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, you're not kidding. I don't want to be there when they come to collect their checks. So let's talk about the book. The title of the book is The Good Food Revolution. And it is exactly that. I mean, everything you've been saying is just that. It is revolutionary. You're trying to wake more people up. You're trying to wake up the establishment as it is, but you're also trying to get the youth involved, which is you do a lot of training. But tell me a little bit about the book.
Yeah, The Good Food Revolution is really about a journey that starts with my family from South Carolina. My parents were sharecroppers that moved to the Washington, D.C. area. So it's about the legacy of our family. They've been in farming for over 400 years. the movement started really strong around the 60s with folks dropping out and going out into rural areas, and it moved along a continuum where academics started studying the food system and crusty old farmers like me were involved. And now it's gone to a stage where, like I said before, young people under 40 years of age want to do this act. They don't know how to do it, but they want to do it. The excitement's there. The opportunity is there, and Milwaukee has taken a leadership role. That's why they call Milwaukee the urban egg capital of the world. And we're building infrastructure and really quantifying a lot of things because folks need to know, how do I make money doing this? Can I make a living wage? And that's what we really need to quantify. We really need to change many of the policies that cities have against growing food and composting inside cities. So that's what we're doing. And the book really has a historical perspective about how African-American folks, who comprised around 900,000 farms, now down to 18,000 farmers. So that's been a big drop, and less than 1% of the farmers are African-American today. So the resurrection has started with, I think, a lot of help from the First Lady, who I've worked with on the Let's Move campaign. And the garden on a White House lawn has led to 10 million new people wanting to grow food. And many of those are people of color that are living in food deserts that desperately need food to change the health dynamic of those communities. The book really talks about a lot of those issues and the future of vertical farms to be able to grow food in the air. In vertical farms, and we're going to build the first one in the world at our international headquarters here in Milwaukee.
Hmm. What's a vertical farm? I mean, I'm not. I get it in my head, but I'm not quite
right.
Clear.
It's a building that you can grow on multiple levels. There have been renderings that you can feed 50,000 people on 50-story vertical farm in New York City or Tokyo or Vancouver, these cities that don't have a large land mass inside the city. So it's going to be necessary in the future because what's happening around the world is more people are moving into cities. Actually, now we have more people living in and around cities around the world than in rural areas because of the harsh conditions in rural areas around the world. So we have to feed millions more people, and it's really about our basic survival in terms of it's not sustainable anymore to continue to breed unhealthy people. Hospitals are really struggling financially, especially the inner city hospitals. So we're starting to hear from doctors and hospitals that want to get involved in integrative medicine to connect with the community, to do preventative medicine. So they're kind of all over. And even insurance companies, now that we have the reforms, they want to get involved in trying to keep people healthy.
What you're doing is fantastic. And the best part of it is it's just all common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically common sense and things that we've done in the past, because we used to have local food systems. We used to grow the food inside the states where we live. But now that we have this crazy system of shipping food and saying that we can feed the world, well, we've never been more hungry than we are today. The world, tonight, one out of six young people in America will go to bed without a meal. So in a country that has so many riches, that shouldn't be.
It's a startling statistic, and it's something that people need to really pay attention to. Are there other people around the country doing what you're, other than who you've educated, are there satellites of what you're doing, or are there other people like yourself? Are there other Will Allens around the country with this same attitude, wanting to build this same industry?
Well, we're hoping, because of our regional training centers, we're hoping to breed. There are thousands of youth programs and thousands of schools now that are working with young people and have school gardens, and universities have school gardens. So we're in the infancy stages of really building this. And we want to prove, we want to quantify that you can scale this up to a meaningful place. And like I said, if we can get 100 acres of greenhouses in Milwaukee, we're going to change and grow food year-round in a climate. If we can do it here, you can do it almost anywhere in the world.
Yeah, especially with our climate here, because it's one of the most unpredictable places you could ever imagine to live in terms of.
Right, right. So that's what's exciting about this, because it's you have to be creative, innovative, and that's what these young people have great confidence in this next generation. And I did a commencement speech at my alma mater, University of Miami, a few days ago, last weekend. And I'll be doing a commencement speech at UW-Milwaukee in a few days. And these young people that come and volunteer They're very interested in doing something different, to giving back to the community, because they understand that they want to eat better. They want to have opportunities, and they want to be a part of the community. And they don't necessarily want to go and work for these corporate companies like their parents, because they've seen their parents suffer and losing their jobs and so forth. So I have a lot of confidence in this next generation.
And you're out doing a lot of traveling promoting the book, which I assume the book is available in your local bookstore.
Yes, it's available online, of course, and we're off to a great start in terms of book sales. And it's a book that can be used by high school, college students. It's easy to read. It gives a lot of historical data. So a lot of schools, I did a book signing last night in Naperville, Illinois, and a university there bought 500 copies. So,
oh, nice.
And we have another university that bought 750 copies even before the book was date, which started May 10th. So we're off to a great start. I hope folks enjoy the book and they can get something out of it as we build the Good Food Revolution.
And where can our listeners learn about the Good Food Revolution online if they want to learn about Will Allen?
Well, we have a website, growingpower.org. That's a place, and we have trainings throughout the year, national, international trainings. We'll have probably the largest conference in the world around sustainable food this September at State Fair Park at the Expo Center. Be over 3,000 people, 17 different tracks that include every business you could think of, from political to education to renewable energy. We have planning track. So that's where people come together and get their energy to be able to go out and build this revolution.
And that's here in Milwaukee?
That'll be here at State Fair Park.
When is that?
September 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Excellent. That's good for people to know. And they could come meet you there, and they could learn more about this whole process.
Yeah, we'll have some of the innovators from all over the world there doing breakout sessions and plenaries and keynote addresses at the conference.
Well, I really appreciate you coming back to the studio again to do this interview. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy and you're on the road quite often, but thank you for being here, but thank you for what you do, because it's inspiring, and I hope we're able to follow up on this whole idea of vineyards.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because now you've really piqued my I like Concord grapes, and to grow them and see them growing in the city would be really fantastic.
And it'd be something nobody's, to the best of my knowledge, has done.
Right, exactly.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Learn more about Growing Power and Will Allen at growingpower.org.
Thanks for listening to this program. Watch for our next podcast featuring Doug Schaefer of Schaefer Vineyards in Napa Valley. Remember to watch for photos and updates on our Life Between the Vines Facebook page. Cheers.
Life Between the Vines was produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Assistant editor Bob Warner. Original music by Tim Turton. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Tim Panicucci. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2012.